This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. Father Stanley Rother, the first American-born martyr in the history of the Church, is being beatified in Oklahoma City on September the 23rd. The U.S. priest was gunned down in Guatemala in 1981, shortly after taking the heroic decision to return to his mission parish in the Central American nation, despite knowing his name was on a death list there. Maria Ruiz Scapalanda is the author of a biography about this American martyr entitled The Shepherd Who Didn't Run. She spoke to me about Father Stanley's life, his mission, and why it made such an impact on her.
Stanley Rother, he grew up in a farming family where everybody was hands-on, and, you know, from early on, there's story after story of him helping his dad out on the fields and getting on the tractors and fixing things. His brother Tom says that he could fix anything. It didn't matter what broke in front of them. And I think those things are important because those were traits that formed him at a deep level. The generous heart, the conviction to work hard, to work together. And he brought those with him to the mission in Guatemala when he became the head missionary there.
What made him volunteer for this mission in Guatemala?
I think Stan grew up seeing that pastors were a part of a family. His own pastor, Monsignor Von Elm, would come and not only do the sacraments at Holy Trinity, but he would go out to the Rother family farm and minister by plowing the fields with them when it was harvest time. And I think when he went to Guatemala, Father Stan understood that that was love.
After he arrived in Guatemala, he very quickly became exceedingly popular among his parishioners there, didn't he? Tell us more about their feelings about Father Stanley.
Stanley, the seminarian, he had a very hard time with Latin. What's amazing about that is that even though he struggled in the seminary with this Latin that all of them had to take, he went to Santiago Atitlan, a remote village in Guatemala, and there he not only became fluent in Spanish, he became completely fluent in Zutuhil, which is a very difficult Mayan Indian language. And I think this is critical in understanding how he became one with his people, because the same man who would go out and work the fields with them had also learned their language. And he could speak with them, and he could minister with them, and he could be one with them in all those levels.
You mentioned earlier that he was a very practical, hands-on man because of his farming background. I gather he also, when he was out there in Guatemala, he helped to dig wells. He did many other things, didn't he? He helped to till the fields. Tell us a bit more about what he did there.
I found it very endearing that when I would interview the people there or read the interviews of the people who knew him then, and how what they remember about him was a man who would fix the tractors and the broken machinery with them and then go out on the field and literally plow with them. He helped them establish co-ops for their farming and for their weaving, and he also brought with him the knowledge of what it meant to be a farmer, seeds, and how to harvest from the Oklahoma fields in the Midwest down to Guatemala. Simple, really, but so much a part of who he was as a man and as a pastor.
And when you talk to some of these people who knew him, what did they say about him? What are some of the most memorable things they said about him?
They remember a man who would come to their homes and share dinner with them, no matter how simple it was. Whatever they were eating, he ate. A person who, when things got rough and difficult and violence escalated in Guatemala in the late 70s and early 80s, he was the person who stood with them and who ministered to them in person. His gift of presence is very much remembered there. They remember him being with them in every aspect. He provided sanctuary for the young men or people who were being persecuted. He simply became one with them by staying and by reminding them that God is a God of presence.
You've written a biography about him called The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, referring to the fact that he returned to his mission parish in Guatemala after a trip back home to the US, even though he knew he was on a death list and was in danger of his life. What prompted you to write this biography?
I was a part of the historical commission that gathered all the documents to be sent for his cause to the Vatican. But it was really the Archbishop Paul Coakley who commissioned me to write the book. I'm not from Guatemala, but I have been hearing about Father Stan from the moment we arrived here. My children were in Catholic school, and they would come home with stories about this priest who was a farmer who went to Guatemala and became a missionary and who was martyred there. So I think for me, I've become kind of his ambassador. I want everyone to hear about this ordinary man who can teach us how to live holy lives by simply embracing and being present to what God is giving us every day.
Do you believe it was a hard decision, though, for him to return to his parish in Guatemala, you know, especially given that his family in Oklahoma were begging him to stay in the U.S., and he knew very well he really was risking his life?
I think it must have been heart-wrenching for him. When he came back to Oklahoma, he brought his associate pastor with him. It was very important for him to protect this man who served with him at the mission. When he was here, I really believe that was his Garden of Gethsemane. He struggled at the most heart level how to be a minister to his community in Santiago Atitlan. Everybody that he talked to while he was here, his family, his friends, everyone he visited, he wanted to share with them why he thought he needed to go back. And I think it must have been really, really difficult because he knew that he was on a death list and that the chances were that he was going to be killed. But ultimately, he said, those are my people and I need to go back. And I love the fact that he said, I promised them I would be back for Holy Week. And that's exactly what he did.
Why do you believe the perpetrators of this murder and so many others like it that were happening at that time in Guatemala feared the church so much and its pastors?
Well, that's a really tough question. I think when you have a system where the poor don't have access to health care or to live a better life, and the church comes in and provides them a clinic so that their children are not dying, so that they can take care of one another. He provided co-ops and a radio station where they would do catechesis over the air as well as in the parish. I think the church was involved at every level with the poorest of the poor. And that can be a threatening thing when your landscape begins to change, when people see themselves in a different way. But the involvement of the church was simply standing with them in helping them become better family members to one another, both technically with a better life, but also with providing them with the sacraments and with the presence of the good news in their lives. They had been without a parish priest for 100 years when the Oklahoma missionaries showed up in Santiago Atitlan. So I think presence and just being there with them was very important for the community of Santiago.
How much pride is there among Catholics, not just in Oklahoma, but in the U.S. as a whole, over this beatification of the nation's first American-born martyr?
It's a pretty amazing thing that this is happening, and I really love the fact that he is from nowhere, Oklahoma. You know, he's from a little town called Okarchi that is still a very small town northwest of Oklahoma City. He's not from a big city. He's not an all-star. He's not a superstar. What he is a model of faithful discipleship, of what it means to really give your whole heart to God and trusting God that what you are becoming is what he wanted of Father Stan's life. He is a great model for all of Americans because our struggles here have to do more, you know, with first world problems. And he's telling us, Father Stan, with his life and with his death, that what's important is to open our hearts to God and to the presence that he wants to be with us in the very ordinary lives that we do, that we can become holy people by living out our lives as they are to the fullest.
And I was speaking there to Maria Ruiz Scapalanda, author of a biography about Father Stanley Rother.